this is just Steiner for Americans in France. And I am talking with Baron Harper. Baron, are you there?
I'm here.
And we've spoken with Baron before. Today we're going to talk about taxes because Baron is an accountant and he specializes in filing tax returns for Americans overseas. Is that correct, Baron?
That is true.
Let's go through some questions here. Who has to file a U.S. tax return?
Well, that's a very interesting question because there's the idea that some Americans abroad have that as they're filing and reporting their income, oftentimes worldwide income, especially in France, that they don't have to file stateside. But that's not true because the Internal Revenue Service, I had a client call them the Infernal Revenue Service, mandates that U.S. persons, which would be U.S. citizens or deemed residents, have to file and report their worldwide income just like in France. It's known as citizen-based reporting. And so then it comes around to the question, well, let's get to the nitty-gritty. And the amounts for not filing a tax return, first of all, depend upon, for most people, their filing status. And filing statuses are single, married filing joint, married filing separate, head of household, or qualifying widow. And then it goes further than that. It depends upon whether the person's under 65 or 65 or older. So just for an example, a single person who has gross income less than $9,750, there's a table for this on page 7 of the instructions to the Form 1040. If he's under 65 years of age with that amount, then he doesn't have to file a tax return. Somebody that's married joint that's, say, 65 or older with one spouse, then the minimum is $20,650. Anyway, nobody can keep these numbers in their head, but can certainly refer to them in the instructions. But the second level of misunderstanding all of this is that somebody with only foreign earned income will say, well, it's being excluded by the foreign earned income exclusion, so therefore I have zero income to report, so I don't have to report. But that's not true. They do have to report.
Even if you make under or you make within the foreign earned income exclusion, you still have to file. Even if at the end of your tax return it's a zero, you owe nothing in taxes, you still have to file your taxes.
Still have to file and report, and you have to take that euro income and convert it to U.S. dollars. And that's what gets reported on the tax return. So that would be just like an American person within the United States would put it on line 7 of the Form 1040. But then would exclude it further down, I believe it's line 22 or 3, as the foreign earned income exclusion. Now, the IRS says if you don't file a return and go through this exercise and they catch up to you later, then they will require the filing and will not allow that exclusion with the result that the person's double taxed.
So basically what you're really saying is that you got to go through, you got to take the time and file your income taxes. Even if it's at the end of the day you're not going to pay anything, if you don't do that, the IRS can, if they catch you, they can really bust you.
They can do that, yes.
Yeah. And what is the euro exchange rate, do you know, for 2012?
It's 0.809. So in other words, if somebody has, I don't know, 100,000 of euros, you divide that by 0.809, whatever that result is would be what gets reported on line 7 of the 1040.
So what forms does an American expat have to use?
An American expat, the basic forms are, of course, the 1040. If there's no other income other than foreign earnings, then there's a form 2555. Which is for the foreign earned income exclusion amount. And you would report the foreign earnings in dollars on that, and then that would be reduced by the exclusion amount. And so then if it's fully excluded, then it will show up as being such on the page 1 of the 1040. But on the other hand, if it's not, if somebody has more income, then there's a potential that taxes could be owed. All of this gets rather complicated because if there is an overage, then whatever that amount is, then would be further reduced by typically a standard deduction, which depends on the filing requirement as well as the one or more exemptions. But if after all of that's said and done, there's still income left over, there'll definitely be a tax assessed. So what does one do? One then goes to the Form 1116, which is the foreign tax credit, and calculates what the taxes owed would be in the quest to eliminate those taxes. And that particular form works most of the time, but not all of the time, and it depends upon the foreign taxes that are applied to the foreign earned income versus whether foreign taxes are applied to other income flows.
In your professional experience, what is the effective cutoff rate where you start paying double tax?
That's a good question. I would say typically that a person in a higher income bracket that's not paying a lot of foreign taxes, you could be earning $200,000 or $300,000. Chances are, and have investment income, then the chances are very good that you're going to be paying taxes on that.
Now, what about some of the countries that don't? Because France, for example, this is Americans in France. So, but they had there's a treaty, so that in theory, if I made 500,000 euros of income, I'm not going to get double taxed on that. If I pay it in one country, I then shouldn't pay it in the other, right?
That's the way it should work. The thing about the treaty, there's a treaty form, 8833, and it's a little bit complicated because I've seen some IRS agents say that you can't even take a treaty position, if you're a U.S. person. But if you're say that you're a non, could be classified as an alien person deriving income from the states, then you definitely qualify for the 8833.
That would be a French person or somebody else that had a green card?
That would be, but it's not foolproof because on the other hand, when I've done tax returns and applied the 8833 to U.S. citizens, there's not been a problem. It's sort of arbitrary. A few years ago, I had a fellow that's a citizen of the UK residing in Spain, driving income out of the United States. So we took the treaty position, and we were doing that every year without any problem. And suddenly the IRS came along and said, you can't do that. And it took us 8 or 9 months to fight that. Eventually, the IRS relented and allowed us to use the 8833. But it's a touchy, kind of an uncertain situation. They say you should use it on pain and penalty, but then if you use it and they don't like it, then they may come back and slap your hand.
And the tax treaty, for example, with France is for earned income, right?
Not necessarily. If you look at the tax treaty, it's for all sorts of income flows.
Is it really? What about something like unemployment benefits or something along those lines?
That's an interesting question, Jeff, because on the one hand, unemployment benefits in France are not taxed. So people have ended up paying taxes on that income to the states. But on the other hand, I have seen the unemployment benefits attached to the foreign earnings. With the result that you did the exclusion, and if they all fell within the exclusion, there was no tax, but if it spills out over, then it goes back to what I said before, which is applying the foreign taxes, and sometimes that works to eliminate the tax.
Is it possible to do an e-file if you're an American expat?
Not any problem. The only thing is that Americans abroad have to report their foreign financial holdings on what's called an FBAR, that's Foreign Banking Account Report. And this is an annual thing that gets filed apart from the tax return, so it's not possible to e-file that particular form.
The website for doing the FBAR, you can e-file your FBARs now.
Yes, I guess you better check on that, because according to the information that I have one of the most sophisticated tax programs that are out there. And yes, you can click the e-filing with the FBAR reporting. And it appears that it does go, but on the other hand, you should still physically do a paper filing.
I should send a electronic copy and then print out my copy and send it.
Yes, if you're going to try to e-file it, I still strongly recommend the paper filing, because I don't think the e-filing yet is up to speed. I've talked with some people that are in the know about this, and they still maintain that you have to paper file it. Now, that other form that became effective for 2011, it's the 8938. That's the one that is so similar to the FBAR requirement, where one has to file on foreign financial holdings, the FATCA, they say. That darn thing depends upon your filing status and whether you're residing in the United States or outside of the United States. But basically, if, let us say, you're married filing joint, and you had foreign financial assets of over $200,000 on the last day of the tax year, which in this case now it's 2012, or more than $300,000 at any time during the tax year, then that 8938 has to be filed, and it can be e-filed with the tax return.
Does that include a house?
No.
Stocks, bonds?
It would be financial accounts maintained by a foreign financial institution, foreign financial assets held for investments such as stock or securities issued by someone other than a U.S. person, any interest in a foreign entity, any financial instrument or contract that has an issuer or counterparty that is not a U.S. person. And a lot of this stuff will go over somebody's head.
But to moving on here, what's the deadline? If I'm an American, I live overseas no matter where. What is my deadline?
Well, the deadline for paying taxes has passed. That was April 15th. The deadline for filing the tax return this year is June the 17th.
Okay. And what's for the FBAR and the FATCA, what are the deadlines for those?
Well, the FATCA goes with the tax return, and the FBAR is June 30th. And one of the mistakes that some Americans make, because stateside, if you file on the due date, the IRS will approve the postmark.
Right.
But they will not approve the postmark if you file from outside of the United States. So you want to be sure that it reaches the destination by the due date. So in the case of the FBAR, it's due the 30th. Of June, as I said, and so you want to be sure it reaches there. Now, there are ways that you can file that thing by express mail, and it's I believe you can also file it with the embassy.
But basically what you're saying is it has to get there by June 30th.
Yes, yes, so be sure and allow plenty of time for that.
And what happens if somebody is self-employed? Is that you still get to use the 2555, the form for the foreign earned income exclusion? If you're...
Well, the thing about a self-employed person is that they would use a Schedule C, as I say, for self-employed, and you would take your gross revenues and then subtract from that the business-related expenses. And then the net income figure is what would go to the 2555, and it would then be excluded just like somebody that's employed. The difference is that the net income from the self-employment now is you're liable for self-employment taxes stateside unless you're paying Social Security to the foreign country of residence.
So if I have my in France, obviously the high taxes, I pay the Social Security here, then I'm not going to have to pay it in America.
Right, but it's interesting that I have clients in the Middle East. If you're self-employed there and they don't have a Social Security tax, then they end up having to pay those taxes stateside. And right, I think for 2012, it's 13.3% of net income. And if you make a lot of money, that can get a little bit steep. And that's curious, because if anybody that's an employee receiving a salary, even though the employer is not paying Social Security taxes, that person is not liable for Social Security taxes stateside. So it's an anomaly, we say.
If you're employed and your employer doesn't have to pay the taxes, that's great.
Yeah.
If you're self-employed, then you do have to pay the taxes.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. I've got a client right now, and he's got self-employment. They're paying him on what you would call a 1099 basis, and when you're a 1099 recipient of unemployment or of non-employee income, that's what it is, then you have to report that on Schedule C. And then the bottom line is that he will be susceptible to those self-employment taxes. But if that same employer would pay him as an employee, there's no Social Security taxes.
What would be your suggestion for somebody who hasn't been filing the taxes?
I always like to take the proactive approach rather than the reactive. Reactive is very dangerous because if the IRS catches up to you, and there's more and more of this business of exchange of information with countries. The U.S. has, goodness knows, upwards of 200 tax treaties out there, and they're exchanging information. And you file in France and report ABC of income, and then the IRS can find out about that and come in hot pursuit. What's recommended is to file the current and the previous 2 years. This is okay as long as there are no taxes owed. But if there are taxes owed, then the filer needs to go back 6 years. As for the FBAR, there's not a one-year, two-year thing, but you automatically have to go back 6 years.
So basically what you're saying, if you don't owe taxes, you do 2 years, and if you do owe taxes, you do six. But that's, in the FBAR, you would have to go back 6 years.
Yes, yes.
And do you have to file taxes for the U.S. state?
Really depends. Some of the states will say that if the source of the income is out of their state, you have to file, and others will say if you don't live here, you don't have to file. The best thing to do is just go into their website and see which is the filing requirement.
Well, you know, Baron, thank you very much. We've covered a lot of things here, and I think it's really been good. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Jeff, for the opportunity.